The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, gracious Lord, we thank you that your Holy Spirit renews the church in every age. Pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep them steadfast in your word. Protect and comfort them in times of trial. Defend them against all enemies of the gospel. And bestow on the church your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. So today I'm wearing red shoes. I've got red shoes that have a symbol on them. Do you know what a symbol is? It's a sign that means something. Each little piece has a meaning.
Yeah, like conventional sign for the planets.
That's not a symbol, though. Well, that's a sign. That's a sign. Okay, so this sign on my shoes is called the Luther Rose, and it has lots of signs. What do you see on it? What do you see on that?
Flower.
Go ahead. A flower. Okay, because it's a rose. There's a rose there. And what else? A cross and a circle. See anything else?
A cross in the middle.
A cross in the middle.
Like a sign looking.
Yes, yes. So all of those things mean something. So 500 years ago, there was a man named Martin Luther who was a very good priest, pastor, and he got discouraged with the state of affairs in the church and the state of affairs in the world. He said, there is a lot of bad stuff going on. There are too many bad things. And one of the bad things is that the pastors weren't always telling the truth. The leaders of the country weren't always telling the truth. And he said, things have to change. We need to change and start listening to... Who do you think we should listen to?
God.
God. Because in the Bible, there is truth. And the truth makes us free. Yes, dear? All right. So the truth that makes us free is that God loves us. And God gives us salvation, grace, and love. That is God's gift to us. And Martin Luther said, we need to change some things so people can hear that story. That's how we got the Lutheran Church, because that was the message that the church wanted to say all the time. God loves us. That's the truth. The truth will set us free. It's all about grace and God's love for us, reading the Bible, word, faith, grace. You'll hear more about that in the sermon today. So you get to stay. There's no Sunday school today. And so you can go back and sit with your parents. Listen to the story that I'm going to tell at the very beginning of the sermon. That's a story that is just for you specifically. Okay, go back to your places.
First reading is from Jeremiah 31. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 46 responsively. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be moved, and though the mountains shake in the depths of the sea.
Though the waters rage and foam, and though the mountains tremble with its tumult.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High.
God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be shaken. God shall help it at the break of day.
The nations rage and the kingdom is shaken. God speaks and the earth melts away.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
Come now, regard the works of the Lord. What desolations God has wrought upon the earth.
Behold, the one who makes war to cease in all the world, who breaks the bow and shatters the spear and burns the shield with fire.
Be still then, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
Glory to the Father,
and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Romans. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For no human being will be justified in his sight by deeds prescribed by the law, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forth as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. He did this to show his righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the present time that he himself is righteous and that he justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of boasting? It is excluded. By what law? By that of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works prescribed by the law. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered him, We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying, You will make us free? Jesus answered them, Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, last week I was in Palm Desert at the theological conference that the pastors and church leaders from Southwest California Synod and the Pacifica Synod have every year. And I always look forward to this. Not only are there good keynote speakers and opportunity to gain some new knowledge, it's also a wonderful opportunity to network with pastors from around our two synods. And since it's always this week, right before Reformation Sunday, the topic in all conversations is, so what are you going to preach on Sunday? What's your sermon going to be? Are you doing Reformation or what's your sermon? Well, I was sitting next to a pastor and I said, so what's your sermon? And he said, grace. One word. Just grace. Then he told me this story, and at the end of the story I said, can I use that in my sermon as well? Sure. So there was a little girl, let's call her Cindy. She was in a foster home with two other children. The other two children were the biological children of the parents. And every year, this family took, they lived in Florida, and they took a trip to Disney World. And this would be the biggest highlight of the year. The weeks before the trip, excitement was building up, and they were all excited. And every year, Cindy would be dropped off at a neighbor's house. And makes me cry when y'all did that. And every year, she would not be allowed to go to Disney World. When Cindy was about 8 years old, she was removed from that home and placed in another home where she was adopted by this new family. When the father heard that Cindy had never gone to Disney World and had not been allowed to go, he declared that this spring, on spring break, the family is going to Disney World. As spring grew closer, Cindy's behavior started in a downward cycle. She stole from her mother's purse. She broke her brother's toy and hid it. She sassed back. And just generally was misbehaving. Finally, Dad sat her down for a tough talk. And Cindy asked the question, does this mean that I don't get to go to Disney World? And Dad said, no, you're a part of this family. This is a family vacation, so you will go. But you do need to change your behavior. Well, her behavior did not change. She continued to push against every family rule. The morning of the trip arrived, and Cindy stood with her little bag, fully expecting to be left at the neighbor's. She knew that her behavior did not deserve a trip to Disney World. But no, they were all going to Disney World. Cindy crawled into her father's arms and cried, now I know why I get to go to Disney World. It's not because of how I acted. It's because I belong to you. The person who told me this story was the father. Isn't that the story of grace? The story of belonging. Well, every year on Reformation Sunday, we get this reading from John's Gospel that proclaims us as free and reminds us of our status as children of God, reminds us that we are here because we belong to God, and that it's all about grace. Pure and simple. It's all about God's action on our behalf. Now, I was thinking that this is a difficult stretch for me to go from to link our stewardship theme and this gospel of grace and freedom. But these are really not such a strange pairing. It's our freedom in Christ that allows us to be good stewards of God's many gifts, including that gift of God's good news of grace. We are free to share what we have, the grace, the freedom, the faith, our time, our talents, our treasures. Stewardship Sunday is next week, Consecration Sunday, and we're being asked to consider a spiritual question. What is God calling me to give as a percentage of my income? That's a personal question. It's a spiritual question that each of us must answer for ourselves. Now, some people might say, I do feel that God is calling me to give 10% of my income to the Lord's work. I've been thinking about tithing for some time, and I want to begin that spiritual practice. Some other people might respond to this question and say something like, well, someday I would like to be tithing, but I'm not ready for 10% this year. I feel God wants me to start somewhere with a percentage, but maybe 4% or 5% or 6%. I know that God will bless that decision that I make and will help me increase my giving through the years. And there are others that may have been tithing for years. A friend of mine, this is a true story, a friend of mine, so was the other one, a friend of mine told me a few years ago about his experience with his first years of tithing. He and his wife, when they got married, decided that they would tithe on their combined income less their student loan payments. And in the first year, that 10% tithe of their income was really not all that much. But they were always able to make their tithe, and they were able to make their student loan payments, and they had enough. Through the years, their incomes had increased, and they had paid off their student loan. And he was sitting in the office doing their taxes, and he looked at what they gave to the church, and he said, oh my, this is a lot of money. And he called his wife in, and he said, showed her what they were giving, and he sort of expected her to agree with him that they should stop tithing and just give a set amount and not tithe anymore, and because that was a lot of money. And she said, well, let's pray and ask God for thank God for giving us what we have, and then ask God what he's calling us to give back. They increased their tithe to 15% of their income to go to the Lord's work. Their open hearts led them to greater generosity. That's my brother's story. Oh, don't tell him that I said that. As we prepare for Consecration Sunday next week, we're praying for God's guidance as we answer this spiritual question. What percent of my income is God calling me to give? And you are free. You are free in God's grace and God's goodness to be that generous. Jesus offers us, as we heard in this text from John's Gospel, Jesus offers us freedom. You know, in response to that offer of freedom that Jesus gave to his listeners, to that crowd, they said, thanks, but no thanks. We don't need your freedom. We're free ourselves. We've never been beholden to anybody. We've never been slaves. They must have forgotten about that Egypt Pharaoh little thing there for a while. But today, on Reformation Day, let's allow that freedom in Christ, our stewardship of that freedom, and our penchant for putting ourselves in our own, I can do it alone, save myself. It's all about grace. Let's let that be the focus of our day today. Too often we think of this justification, salvation, our freedom in Christ, in only religious terms, and we end up with this dualistic idea of justification by works versus justification by faith. But it's really a question of justification by Christ or self-justification. We can save ourselves. It's so much about our attempts to go it alone, to define ourselves in our own terms, to secure for ourselves a place in our universe of our own making, doing it by our own means and our own devices. This kind of self-justification can take many forms. In the first century, with Jesus talking to that crowd and them saying that we've always done it this way and this will save us, ignoring and refusing to see that God was doing a new thing in Jesus. And then maybe in the 16th century, in the day of Martin Luther, it was creating these false mechanisms and false promises to guarantee a place in heaven. Maybe today, it's by trying to acquire wealth or status or prestige to create the illusion of a meaningful and purposeful life. So whatever time or device that we use, these attempts share in common the desire to craft for oneself an independent identity, independent of our relationship with God. This is really fake news, that we've made ourselves, that we are our own people, that we don't, it's not about God and me, it's about me and maybe God at the end of that sentence. We have a relationship with God, and God is the actor in our lives. No matter how much wealth one has, you can't buy love. No matter how many hours one works, how many merits one is awarded, there's no guarantee that that will create a sense of meaning and purpose in life. No matter how much power one stacks up, power doesn't balance acceptance. You may try to fill the holes in your hearts with purchases, with a lifestyle that masks our fears, our sense of inadequacy or shame, our delusions. It just doesn't work. Nothing but Christ gives the security that we so desperately crave. We cannot do it on our own effort. This is Jesus' upside-down kingdom. In God's kingdom, it's all about freedom. Freedom for. In God's kingdom, we belong. We're welcomed. Not because of what we've done or acquired or accomplished or what percent of our income we share with the Lord, but simply because God loves us. Our identity as a child of God isn't some hard-earned award, but rather the sheer gift of grace. And our destiny is secured not by our own merit or achievements, but rather it is secured and guaranteed by the one who died on the cross and rose again, proving once and for all that God's love is more powerful even than death. We are free in Christ Jesus, not measured or saved by our good works or our good behavior, But we are thankful recipients of this most amazing grace and as a part of our Christian calling in the world. We are free. We are free to be generous. We're free to practice good stewardship of our time and talents. We are free to share our treasures and our finances. We are free to carefully tend this gift of the earth. We are free to see to the needs of our neighbors. We are free to know that all are our neighbors. No one is excluded. We are free to love and to be loved by God. So here's the good news on this Reformation Sunday. God knows us. Even in our messy attempts to justify ourselves by our work or our accomplishments, our wealth or our status, God knows us. God loves us. God loves us. Not the person that we've tried to be or the person that we've promised to be, but God loves us as the person we really are. And God forgives our sin. God promises our unconditional love and mercy and acceptance. We are free from ourselves and our shame, and we are free for Christ Jesus our Lord. It's like little Cindy said, now I know. It's not about how I act. It's because I belong to you. Amen.